Just for your jizz.
Well, Ken, this is the nice soft way to introduce OPA number 112 as presented by Stunt Granny. So.
Yeah, it's true. I've been going a little crazy with the gifts on my phone, Kevin.
I've got to admit, I've been trying to take advantage of technology a little bit more myself by sending more. I would still go with the GIFs since that's the way I learned it first. But, you know, there seems to be a divide, and there really seems to be some hatred for the people that agree with the guy that invented it.
Well, I hope we can have a maybe kind of model a relationship for the rest of the world to take where we can agree to disagree on some things. You know, even if they are as, you know, central to our lives as whether you pronounce it GIF or JIF, and just sort of agree to disagree.
Yeah, well, can we agree or disagree on the idea of having a public urinal out on the streets of, well, let's just say Columbus, Ohio? Would you like to maybe see some down in the short north where, you know, it's a little more crowded down there, a little more scenic?
A public urinal?
A public urinal.
Okay, you have to describe that for me a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, we thankfully have do not have these in Columbus necessarily.
Because I'm not familiar in my experience with something, you know, in my day-to-day life that I've come across that's really a public urinal, what I would call that. I mean, you're talking about outside, inside a restroom, or?
No, this is completely out of doors.
Huh.
And honestly, the website that you linked me to originally.
Oh, I did do that. That's right.
Yes. this did take place in Paris. And evidently, this is like the fifth rollout, honestly, because they said they started rolling them out in, what was it, March? Yeah, three of them in March, added a fourth in July, and they're planning on adding a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, it looks like, you know, like a cigarette butt, you know, an ashtray that I've seen. Yeah. It also kind of combines a little bit of trash can action.
Right. It kind of does look like a trash can with a cigarette ashtray, yeah, cigarette butt kind of collector on top. So, yeah, I agree with you there. It really is not what I would call nice looking.
yeah. I think the thing that really kills me that would probably help out, in my opinion, is to not have the big flag on it that says Yuri Trotcher.
Yuri,
I don't know.
Trottois,
maybe? Yeah, my French is non-existent, so.
I'm going to go with that. I'm probably way off base.
Your Latin is probably more functional than my German in this situation, so I will.
But, which is probably equally
useless at this juncture.
Yuri Trottoir, which combines the words for urinal and pavement. So it's a pavement urinal, basically, as what we would call it here in these parts.
Yeah, I've got to admit, well, so there is a flag on this device.
Kind of looks like a bus stop sign or something.
Right, and it has a gentleman, you know, urinating in a very cartoonish fashion because he's arching his back and arching into it.
Oh, yeah. That is really the head scratcher on this one. It's just like a weirdly, like,
he's really enjoying just urinating in public. Like, I mean, he is really sticking it to the man. Like, it's just like, oh, you get to breastfeed, I get to pee in public.
Like, whoever the artist was made several choices that, you know, very specific choices, I think, when they were constructing, you know, designing the sign. Like, you're right. Like, the way he's tilted back, it's not like what we would have here, like a generic, like, icon almost of like a male figure or something.
Right.
A stick figure.
You'd probably see a vertical stick figure with an arc. Is what you would see in the U.S.
Like a Ford or Chevy logo.
Ford or Chevy logo. Yes.
That's what we... And perhaps an unlicensed Calvin image as well. But yeah, this is like a cartoonish looking man.
Hey.
Like really leaning back and going at it full stream into this cartoon version of the box, the urinal box.
Yeah, and the gentleman using it in this picture is not following the cartoon. Mm. I would say it looks a little more natural.
Well, he kind of looks like he's looking over his shoulder, seeing like who is coming up on him while he's standing on the public sidewalk with his penis out, peeing into a box. I mean, it's pretty crazy to me that this is like so much of a problem that they have to go to something like this, you know? It just seems...
Well,
totally insane.
I guess what I find questionable is they kind of mention that this is like, across the river from, one of them is across the river from Notre Dame. And it's just like, I guess I'm calling into question the locations. Can't you find an alley that maybe someone could go use?
Well, it seems like you should put them, you know, they said that these were like mobile, like they could move them around. Like if you look, the sign is attached to the side of the unit there. So like,
correct.
I would think they would maybe want to put them where the peeing is a problem, like wherever that is. So it would make you wonder, is like peeing a problem right across from Notre Dame? If so, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
I do not have the tourist data on how many people pee.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's something that we could, like, look up on Google Maps or anything. Maybe someone has, like, a custom overlay that you could load up to see, like, the pee frequency in a given area. Kind of like a heat map for public urination. It could be a good app.
I really want that to exist. If that idea has not been patented, I think that we need to hit the patent office tomorrow morning, Ken.
Yep.
And get our paperwork together.
I think we can do some kind of like...
I think we have found what will take Stunt Granny.
We use like a microphone surveillance. We can kind of like train it to hear the sound of piss hitting the sidewalk. And then we'll be able to really get accurate data, I think. That's going to be good. It's going to set us apart.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess it is really weird. Like, what exactly... Yeah, why did they place them, like, in such public areas? Like, I guess that's the thing to me. Like, if you have a problem with the urination, you know, at least kind of hide it. Like, this looks like a very, very open public area. Like, that's almost like trying to deter someone from using it. Unless they kind of want to show off. Like, that's the other problem. Like, right. Isn't there going to be some weirdo that's going to want to show his hog off?
Like, yeah. Like, whoops, I forgot to zip up my pants and I turn around, you know. Not me, but, you know, some weirdo.
Yeah, we're different types of weirdos. We're just not going to do that in particular.
That's not my style. But, I don't know. It's I could see something like that happening. It would make me uncomfortable, and I could see like.
I'm not sure. Like, to think back to a time long ago at this juncture, literally half of our lives, the year that we turned 21, we were intoxicated a lot that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have seen using something like that in public then.
Yeah.
But I could also see that, like,
I could see
either at
this.
Kent State and
Yes.
or Penn State, I could easily see something like this existing and it getting used
Yeah, I mean
frequently.
that makes perfect sense, I think, for Penn State. And they should come up with something for women to use as well, because I do believe that that also happens in the wild. Wild. That was the other thing that I couldn't help but laugh about this article, was the term that they came up with, wild peeing, to describe the public urination problem.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that maybe that other than your pee heat map, I mean, that really does, like, there's not a whole, you can't get into that too deep, but I mean, there's enough of a problem that they're seeking a solution. Like, I mean, and this guy doesn't look like, the guy in the picture using it does not look like he's a bum.
No, he looks like he's wearing business casual kind of
Yeah, it looks like he has a
clothes.
button down and jeans on. Yeah, so I mean, it's not like it's some hobo coming up to use this thing.
And he doesn't necessarily look like a college-aged person either, which is what
No.
I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah,
Because I
this.
could see it for, like you said, a college environment where people, kids are going wild.
Right.
But is this like in, I don't know, why, maybe a lot of like tourist kids are going crazy. I could see something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to know without being there, probably, Kevin, but it
Well,
does make for a bizarre situation.
it just leaves me with a lot of questions. We get into these topics that I have a lot of questions that I cannot entertain a French person's time to really dig into this topic. I don't think it's worth my time either, really. Like I have the questions, and if there were answers just right in this article, it'd be great, but there are not.
Sure, if we have any listeners in Paris,
It's, yeah, all of our French listeners. A, you can tell us how to pronunciate the that word correctly.
Ritual, or wow, that was even the best yet. Well, check out the article. It has the spelling in the link.
Yeah, it's on NPR.
Yes. So yeah, this one was like that they show in the picture is like right next to the river where there's an open air riverboat going by with tourists on it. So it just seems
Yeah.
like a bad place there.
Yeah. I like I said, I it seems like there needs to be a right place, right time. Because if you're gonna do that, I guess why not just do a full what are the porta potty
Oh
type
yeah. Well,
situation?
and they have like these, I was showing you a little bit before we started recording. They have these nice looking restroom kind of, like you say, porta potties, but they're actually not bad looking, I don't think.
No, they look way better than the porta potties in this here United States. I'll throw that. I'm not saying that they are because they're not showing the inside of them. It probably still smells like pee in there.
It says somehow it uses rainwater. And
Oh, cool.
the floor bowl are washed systematically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I bet you there might be
So,
something similar to the waterless urinals.
oh yeah.
Some type of a cleaning system similar to that.
Well, yeah, it seems like that. So, well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, it seems like also they do have options, like with these free toilets around. Will this help? Like, adding five of these things? I don't know.
Well, and I guess that's the other crazy thing. Like, if you already have an outdoor toilet, like, what the fuck is the problem that there's still a peeing problem, man? I'm gonna keep going back to that. Are you pulling? I see a map of Paris. Is this the pee heat map?
I don't think this is going to be like where the, oh my God, Maybe it is.
41 cases of peeing outside there? Is that what that means?
I think this is where the restrooms are. So it looks like most of them are not near the river. I feel like we're really digging deep on this topic here. If I zoom in, okay, yeah, now I can see where the restrooms are. I don't know, they're color-coded for some reason. Don't know what that's all about.
Oh, okay, the pink ones are 24/7. That is 6 hour to 22 hour. So the orange ones are only open certain times.
Oh, okay.
And then yeah, 24/24.
And the blue ones are only open for a shorter amount of time, it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
That's kind of strange.
Very detailed map we have here.
No kidding. That is crazy. Like, that's a lot of outdoor... Like, that is a lot of outdoor toilets. That, why are people having problems, man?
Like, even in the area where they say they don't have as many, there's still a shit ton of these things.
Yeah, like, there's still, like, 8 of them in the area. 7 or 8. Like, that really seems like enough that if you are having a moment, that you could find one in a reasonably short distance.
Yeah. I am saying shame on you, the peers
of
Paris.
Weirdos. Yes. Bunch of weirdos.
That's right. So if someone wants to come back with some context on this about why this is an okay thing, until then, I think me and Kevin, we're going to agree to agree on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, this part of the article, no problems.
Don't want the pavement urinals around here. I mean, it's bad enough that we're getting these bird scooters, Kevin. I don't know if you've been paying attention to any of the local discussion about that.
What are they?
These electric scooters that you can use an app to rent called Bird.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I have seen those. I guess I did not realize they were causing a kerfuffle.
Well, they were banned in Bexley. When they rolled them out here without talking to anybody, the police, like, picked them all up and... held them in the police station and told them to call, you know, come and pick them up. So they made a ruling that they weren't allowed to operate here, I guess. So that's not some in the greater Columbus area.
Yeah, well, thank goodness I am not in, I don't know if I'm in Snootstown or not, but I'm not in Bexley, so. Yeah.
You're not out in the urban area. I'm not sure if they would
if they're
that many out that way or not.
Right.
But who knows? It's the way of the future, man, apparently.
Yep, I guess so. It would be a quick way to transport yourself.
Yeah, and Kevin, you might not think of it, but a quick way to transport a shark, actually, might be... in a baby stroller. According to some people in... Oh, gosh. Where was this? San Antonio, Texas. Some people pulled off...
Yeah, it was a fairly daring heist.
Yep. This is another in our series of heists here we've been doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like Heist Corner.
Yeah, we've always got to have a heist on so many consecutive episodes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because this one's a little bit old because it was the end of July, considering we're the middle of the month here.
Some things are just going to be evergreen, Kevin. And this is probably one of them. I'm sure we'll be talking about this one for years. There was a
there was and what type of
a horn shark.
Oh, okay, a horn shark, because it was a little bit smaller size of a shark. Like,
yes,
I know that
this wasn't the shark from Jaws or anything.
Yeah, they did not kidnap a great white like that. I would have been impressed by.
especially in a baby stroller. I mean, that would have to be like one of those big ones that, you know, carry like four kids, I would think, if you're even going to have a chance.
Yeah.
Or maybe even like one of those super huge ones that you could take like a whole preschool class in.
Yeah, I don't even know how, like, I think that that might physically be impossible. With, you know, like, because they pulled this out of a shallow pool where you could, you know, pet some of the animals.
Yes. So this was not a super huge shark.
No. Yeah, to get away from my craziness about the grabbing a great white shark. We can save that craziness for the last Sharknado upcoming this Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, is it? They said it's going to be the last one?
Yep, it's going to be the last one. Yeah, the coworker that has watched all of the Sharknados was quick to tell me about this happening. They have varied in quality ever since that one, though, that we missed from doing. Like, they have not been of the best, you know, kind of fun schlock that the first two, I think, kind of lived up to billing. I think, 3 and 4 kind of, didn't do so hot. Yeah. And I think this is either 5 or 6.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have not seen all of them for sure. We did. I think if you, can search the archives, you might find, episodes that we have done.
I believe we did 1 and 2. Definitely 2. Because I think we were supposed to do 3, but something happened. I'm not sure if there were some travel issues or some power issues or something happened that threw that off.
Weather-related?
Yeah, it may have been weather-related.
Not sure. But, yeah, this has been a long time since I've checked in on the adventures of the Sharknado team.
The Sharknado verse.
Yeah. they went downhill fairly quickly, from what I can recall. This.
Anything that involves Tara Reid, you know, these things will happen.
Yeah. And this plan of kidnapping the shark with a baby stroller did not go well either, Kevin. They were.
No.
They were made and questioned before they could leave the aquarium.
Yeah, and they did get out of the venue.
Oh, what, I should say that
the aquarium.
It was a 16-inch shark in a bucket, not just like lying loose in the stroller, which would have been not good for keeping the shark alive. I'm no shark expert, but
yeah.
You either have to have the shark in water, I believe, or inside a tornado for it to survive.
Now,
so, one or the other.
The good news is that the persons in question here did somewhat know how to handle such an animal.
Yeah, I think that it seemed like the person who pulled this off was like a group of 3 people.
Right.
But I think it was like a main guy and kind of accomplices situation. He was a shark enthusiast who had at one point had one of these kind of sharks.
Oh, right.
But it ended up dying or something happened to it.
Yeah.
Unfortunate circumstances. But that doesn't mean you can go out and just steal a shark from an aquarium.
Yeah, the funny thing was is they have the whole thing on video. But the first time I watched this video, there's another stroller that's in the video that I watched the whole time. And did not notice the actual stealing. I was watching this one.
Yeah, this is...
And it occurs. I was watching one that was like in the middle of the shot. And I'm like, oh, that's got to be it, right? And I see 3 people. Because it's a mom, a dad, and a child. I'm like, okay, well, that's who stole it. But it's on the right-hand side of the screen and not the middle slash... left-hand side of the screen.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I ended up, I'm like, oh my god, no, I completely missed it. So, because, yeah, that guy grabs it right there.
Oh, wow. How about that? Just
and that guy comes with the bucket, there's the wife with the stroller. Yeah, like the first time I was completely paying attention to the wrong thing.
And there is like a trail of water that goes over to where they took the shark.
Yeah, because they went over to an area.
And there's a lot of people walking around. Like, I don't know how. And they're right on camera. So there's
yeah, they
a
went
lot
to
of problems.
Some area that did not have a camera, because you do end up seeing them come back out of the area, because they're either directly underneath the camera where you can't see them, or there's a little niche back there that they could hide in.
Yeah, it seems like there was a little corner where the camera isn't at, but still they walked towards the camera in full view of the camera with the shark in order to get to this place, which is not seen by the camera. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
So that's where I'm faulting their plan.
Well, yeah, there's just a lot of bad ideas. Just because, A, simply, if you know you had to take the shark over there to stay off camera, you knew that you were already on camera stealing it.
Yeah. If your plan is to get off camera, your problem is that you've already are on camera, you know, at that point in your plan. Well, anyway, it's my computer is apparently logged up now.
Well, yeah. It was just a terrible, terrible plan these people came up with. And because the wife and the accomplice ended up getting busted before the main guy did, which was kind of funny.
Oh, right. Yeah, the other little detail, he tried to get out of there and leave his accomplices behind.
Yeah, so he was a class act.
I mean, that is crazy to me. Like, what do you think you're going to get? You think they're not going to give you up after you,
just
took off and left
them
there? Yeah. What kind of hold do you think you have on them that they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, it's this guy.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Here's his home address. Right. I mean, that's not very smart thinking there. But, I guess he didn't really plan this one out. I remember looking up earlier.
No, yeah, this one got solved pretty quickly.
Yeah, this is not a good one.
And thankfully, the shark,
in terms of our like,
still doing well.
And in terms of our heist series, I would give these guys pretty low marks. They're definitely lower end of the heist spectrum.
Compared to, because did we count the guy that escaped from prison was the first one?
I don't know. We've
that not count as the heist because
he covered heist at different of our current string.
He did commit heist to get into jail.
Mm-hmm. And I would count
and one
as a heist,
pattern one after heat.
I would count as a heist for him to get the breakout as well. So
yeah, that one is going to be tough to beat. Like when you break out of prison with a helicopter, that's we kind of started 10 out of 10, I guess, is what I'm throwing out there. This one, ill-advised, easily caught, and the main guy is a real schmuck for just leaving his people to hang out to dry.
And the McDonald's Monopoly one, would you say, was kind of in the middle in the terms of the heist?
Yeah, that one was definitely more sophisticated.
Yeah.
There were a lot of characters. I'd maybe go 8 out of 10. This one probably gets a 4 out of 10. It was very inept. It was quickly solved.
I would even say you're being generous with 4, but
maybe a 2?
Yeah. Because you could get a 0 and, like, I don't know, fall down in a hole before you even get inside the aquarium or something.
Yeah, I mean, the guy did get away with the shark for a short time.
For a brief period of time, yeah. So there is some level of success, but really not what you're going for.
Yeah, I guess 4 probably is a little high.
You want to probably factor in like how long you're able to stay getting away with it, the heist, you know?
So yeah.
The really great heists, the 10s, we're probably never going to hear about, I guess. Or never find out the answers to.
And I guess we included, I forgot we talked about the D.B. Cooper one. At some juncture earlier in the
series.
Going
back a little ways, yeah.
And that would be a 10 out of 10, I would have to think, since he got away with it.
Unless he didn't live. That would drastically change it. Okay, let's give it a 10 out of 10 if he does live and get away with it. If he doesn't live, where does he end up? Where would we rate it in that instance?
And no one's really going to be able to know that answer, more than likely.
Well, I'm just saying, hypothetically, I would say you still give him at least a 5, because that is kind of just on like a chutzpah scale for the D.B. Cooper situation. If he did end up dying, I would say that's worth at least a 5 on our scale.
Yeah, immediate death after he jumped out of the plane. Okay, yeah, I could see that. There's a lot of chutzpah. I might even push it up to a 6. I mean, that was pretty ballsy.
Yeah, and he really...
Hadn't really had a plan, you know. There's kind of some little things that can go wrong, obviously.
And he really only took himself out, so you can't really fault him for being...
selfish, like this guy was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this guy might lose that extra 2. He might have had a 2 for like a couple of days stay with a shark, but maybe we should bump him down to a 1 for being such a jag-off.
Yeah, minus a point for being a dick to your accomplices. that's fair.
this one definitely on the lower rungs of the heist.
Well, I'm gonna have to try to restart my computer here, I think.
Well, speaking of rungs, there are a number of rings around Jupiter.
I think we're thinking of Saturn, maybe.
But
there's moons aplenty around Jupiter.
Isn't there also rings around Jupiter?
I
thought they had a little bit of everything.
Okay, well, I can't look it up at the moment. But we can send our crack team of researchers into the field.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling it up.
But I know that Saturn is famous for the rings. Maybe it's just that those are kind of more spectacular or defined for whatever reason. But you could be right, actually, about Jupiter. I'm going to differ.
I'm trying to check it out if it does.
I do know that there are quite a lot of moons around Jupiter.
Yeah, and that was kind of the main point. We were going to get around to is that evidently Jupiter already had a large number of moons, but Jupiter now has 79 moons, so they just discovered 10 more.
Yes,
like it had 69, dude.
Yeah, Bill and Ted. Now they kind of messed up the numbers a little bit if you look at it that way.
Right.
But, you know, what can you do? They found 10 more. They're not going to be able to cover that up. And it's probably better to get that information out there anyway to, benefit the greater knowledge of mankind or something like that. So these... moons, one of them was interesting because it was kind of in a place that it wasn't supposed to be. Like, there's some moons that are traveling clockwise around Jupiter, if you will.
Yeah,
some
they're,
that are moving
they're
counterclockwise.
Yeah, and they kind of go in belts, they said.
So, like, lanes of traffic almost on a highway.
Yeah, that is, I would say, a very accurate way to describe the situation.
If you're going to go, you know, east to west, you're in one lane. West east, you're in the other one. But yep. This one of the moons that they found was actually going the wrong way, if you will, in the wrong area of the orbit. So it was kind of, you would expect it to have a lot of collisions, they said.
Yeah, and they figure that it probably has been reduced in size because of its wrong-headed rotation in that belt.
And I guess this led people to believe more that it's likely that there used to be a few moons around Jupiter, and the reason that there are so many now is because there had been a lot of collisions over time to kind of break them up into smaller tiny moons. Yes.
Yeah, it's always kind of crazy to talk about the outer space stuff, just from how long it took for this all to happen standpoint. The fact that it would be really hard for humans to have seen anything that far out, you know, even if it had taken place during either of the common eras.
Yeah. It's something that we've only recently become even aware of as existing. You know, the discovery of telescopes, you know, back in Galileo's time, I guess.
Yeah, so the 1500s.
Yeah. So it hasn't been that long. And it's just, who knows what the future holds, Kevin? How long can we continue this this race of scientific knowledge?
I do think that, I think they mentioned that, they're going to need to send another, mission back to study, these moons better at a later time frame. Because I think this one's, set to die out sometime soon. The camera that's out there, or is it going to Pluto?
Oh, you know what? I missed that one.
Yeah, they were looking for other far-flung and hard-to-spot objects out past Pluto. That's what it was. Like, they weren't even really looking for this necessarily when they found it. But because of the way the telescope's scan was the reason this was spotted.
Okay.
Because of... yeah, it can spot Kuiper belt objects near the edge of the solar system.
So this was kind of like a photo bomb, a planetary photo bomb by
a lunar photo bomb.
Yeah. Well, that
yeah, it's I guess it's just always fascinating to learn about this stuff, you know, way out there. It's pretty neat what we're learning about everything, whether it's outer space or just in our own oceans.
You know, the thing that kind of, and I don't know why, but I've been thinking about and kind of bumming out about is that in, I don't know, a billion years or whatever, in the future, the expansion of the universe is going to like be going so quickly that the light from other galaxies will not be able to reach us here on this planet.
Oh.
So, like, there'll be no way for people of that time to, like, be able to know that there's other galaxies in the universe besides the Milky Way.
That is pretty... But, I mean, the Milky Way is huge.
It's true. And it's not like we could ever get to those other galaxies anyway, really. But... we are able to, like, right now at least, see, like, far enough to be able to, like, see light that's 13 billion years, you know, from the beginning of the observable universe. So it's pretty wild. But they won't, you know, in some point in the future, you won't be able to do that anymore. So it's kind of a bummer. You know what else would be a bummer, Kevin?
What would that be, Ken?
Being attacked by a parasitic organism. And having the lower half of your body fall off.
Yeah, that would kind of suck. It would suck even more that your first 16 years of existence are spent underground, doing a whole lot of chilling, and that when
well, you're feeding on roots, Kevin. Don't forget. Don't downplay that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about feeding on roots part.
That's got to be that's got to be fulfilling, yeah.
Feeding on roots,
exactly. So and after 13 or 17 years of that blessed root feeding,
you get to come out of the ground only to have the back half of your body be psychedelic drugs.
Yeah. That's the other weird part about this.
There's a whole lot of weird in this story. Because I think everyone, or at least a lot of people, I would imagine, are familiar with cicadas that do come out every 13 to 17 years. I do know that I had both of the dogs when the last cicada outbreak was in the fine city of Columbus. I want to say that it was a good while ago, maybe 10 years or so ago, at this juncture. It's pretty crazy. You know, I know I've been through a couple of cycles of cicadas at different points in my life. They are everywhere when they finally pop up.
Yeah, and sometimes they pop up in like the wrong year too. I've noticed a few of them at least. And it's kind of like a bummer for them, I guess, because they're not really able to do what they're trying to do there with no other cicadas around. But
yeah, it would suck even more if those are the ones that are infected with what they're calling Massospora.
I think that's right. Massospora. Yeah, that looks right to me.
Yeah, and they actually they have a very good picture of what it looks like at the top of the article in the Atlantic here. Of what it looks like. It did sound quite tricky to be able to catch one of these because there's no guarantee that that they have this problem.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't...
This is caused by a fungus which grows throughout the insect, consumes its organs, and then... uses the insect to spread itself, basically.
Yeah, and it's crazy because the insects walk around as if nothing's wrong. So, I mean, they're still going about their normal business. And then this spore on their back end, when they fly around, they end up spreading it.
Yeah. It's so it only takes a spore to land on some of these cicadas so that it can grow on their and inside their bodies as well. So there's a lot of things that suck about being a cicada, we're learning, Kevin.
Yeah, not just the whole living in the ground feeding on roots parts.
Well, the feeding on roots is the bonus. I mean,
that might be the best part of the existence,
right?
It's you're completely safe for the first 13 years of your life.
The cicadas who come out of the ground are like, oh, remember when we were back in the underground feeding on roots? Those were the good old days. But yeah, they also found that the fungus produces a certain amount of this of the psilocybin, which is a what makes the magic mushrooms magic, if you will.
Correct.
So they are theorizing that this is somehow tripping out these bugs to make them like fly around and not like do normal cicada things to kind of like spread their spores. Yeah.
Yeah, they just try to basically spread the spores to infect other cicadas.
And thinking, yeah, that this could be to control the behavior of the cicada to make it spread more of the spores.
And they did warn that any one person trying to collect enough cicadas to get themselves high off of them.
Yeah, listeners, we know what you guys are thinking.
Everyone's thinking that, Ken.
Yes.
They did say that it was pretty much a useless endeavor. That it would be really, the dosage is so low, like it affects a fellow cicada, but it would not. It would take too large of a quantity.
Yeah.
To affect us.
Now, if we have any cicada listeners out there, I would still say don't try to do this because you're going to get infected with this awful fungus. So it doesn't make it, even if you could get, tripping as a cicada to try this, still don't do it, is what I'm saying. It's bad for you, especially. And if you're a person, how do you know that this fungus is not going to be do something to a person? I don't like it. I wouldn't want to do it either. The bug does not look appetizing to me. Under the best circumstances, and it doesn't help that its butt has been turned into fungus.
I have had the psychedelic mushroom in the past. It is a fungus. It is not growing off of an insect's ass, though.
That does. It just makes it a little harder to sell, I think.
Yeah, I guess I've been okay with the idea of, just because I watch, Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern and stuff, of eating insects for nutrition is quite a common thing. And it's like, oh, okay, I can see that. I don't know why, but this kind of makes it grosser to do that. just having that fungus on the animal or on the insect in question.
Yes.
Although I do know that it is really not good for you because of the hard shell of the cicada. It is not particularly good for you. There is a lot of protein in them, but the shell is very bad for your system.
Couldn't do like a soft shell cicada. Maybe get them right after molting, something like that.
Yeah, if you can find them in those sweet, sweet root stage, I think you might catch them when they're molting.
That's not a bad idea, Kevin. Well, it probably is, actually. We should emphasize that we're not doctors or chefs. Of any kind, so don't take our advice.
I am a house chef.
Oh, but well,
I will leave it at that.
Very good, chef.
This was just kind of a strange one. And I guess the other interesting thing about this was that this is the only other place that on Earth that psilocybin's been found. Which was one of the other reasons why they found that they thought that this was such an interesting find.
Yeah, it makes, you know, they makes did you only wonder, think
that it was in magic mushrooms.
Makes you wonder what kind of evolutionary process produced it. I guess is the magic mushroom somehow related to this fungus that attacks cicadas? Or is it just something that happened to evolve totally separately? I don't think we're at the stage where we know the answer to that one yet.
No, but I did like that the guy that originally found this realized that it was a...
a Schedule I drug?
A Schedule I drug. And he informed the DEA about it as soon as he realized it, freaking out that he might get in trouble. I suppose I don't blame him for making sure that he gets all of his bases covered.
I like the response from them as well. This is ... interesting. You have to understand that this is not something we normally get emails about. And I imagine that's true. people growing or inadvertently growing psilocybin from a fungus that attacks insects is probably not something that they get a lot of calls on.
Right. And again, to go back to something that maybe I jumped ahead of a little bit, the dosage is so low that it would, like, even the researcher doing the research doesn't have enough to get high off of.
And he's like, I really tried. There's just not enough. No, that's not a real quote. the DEA was okay with it because there was really not that much psilocybin being produced. So, I don't know, just an interesting and bizarre little glimpse into the insect world, I guess, which is oftentimes bizarre in my experience.
Yeah, like I said, the sky stuff is interesting. Finding out stuff like that is pretty fascinating. You know, there's a lot about the stuff that goes on around us that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Since a very informative time.
And, I just wanted to say we could do a quick update about the past topic with the Stand Your Ground situation down there over the handicap spot in Florida. It turns out that individual will be facing charges now for manslaughter.
Yeah, so, that was a pretty crazy one.
That's good. A good situation, I think.
Yeah, I think that least, that was a word that I actually used in the show. It looked like in the video the guy had shoved him for sure, but he had stepped away from the situation, was not making more of it.
Well, the part that I didn't like was when, too, you found out that this person had been involved in other incidents where he supposedly flashed his gun at people and was confrontational. So this seems like that this fits a pattern with certain people who are kind of like looking for confrontation. I don't know, to feel more powerful, you know, using a weapon to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hopefully that can be part of what's admitted in evidence. I know sometimes that stuff's not allowed if it is not related to the current thing that they're, you know, investigating or on trial for. They may not be bringing up past incidences, but I don't know.
Yeah, and that's something that I think the DEA brought them about. Because it was not the police that brought about the charges.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, somewhere with the Attorney General's office maybe or something like that. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll kind of keep up with the date on that one in some way, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's one that there isn't much more to talk about it, like, other than that minor update. Because I was thinking, though, about lawyers and other updates. It's something that we've talked about a little bit on the show. A little bit near and dear to my heart, Save the Crew, the movement, because that has that is still going to have some time in court because the lawsuit here in Ohio is still pending. But this week there was some big news in and of the fact that Precourt Sports Ventures signed a term sheet with the city of Austin to develop a site in nowhere near downtown Austin into a new soccer facility for a yet unnamed team currently. It's also interesting that Alex Fisher, who is head of the Columbus Business Association, he seems very optimistic still, despite this happening, that there may be kind of a, which some people have mentioned before, a swap going on where Columbus gets to keep the crew, and Austin gets an expansion team, essentially, is what ends up happening.
Oh. Well, how... I don't know. Then Precourt would be screwed then, right?
Well, he's kind of screwed right now, because it's really getting too late in the year to get... Well, A, they don't have... They're not going to have a venue for a couple of years.
I should say Precourt is the owner.
Yeah,
the,
Anthony Precourt.
Yes.
Of Precourt Sports Ventures. Yeah, he doesn't have a facility rented to play at next year. So at a minimum, if they were to move between seasons, if that was possible, he still has some work to do to find a place to play soccer next year.
That seems
because
important. Yeah.
Even a smaller stadium that is maybe going to fit 20,000, those do not happen overnight. And the drawings for those do not happen overnight. The permits for those do not happen overnight.
They would have to find like a temporary field, probably, I would think.
Yeah, for at least 2 years, I would imagine, at this point. Just because this is just a turn, like they've still got to negotiate the deal with the city of Austin, or, you know, kind of turn everything into an action now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they could, you know, like you said, it would be interesting, I guess, if there was a switch in some kind and Columbus was able to keep their soccer team, potentially with the downtown stadium. I know that there was a proposal recently.
Yeah, and it was and that's kind of one of the other things that's been kind of crazy about the situation is that supposedly the MLS has been in contact with the Columbus Business Association there, but they haven't talked to the city itself that much. But a number of people have offered free land or nearly free land for a stadium to be developed on, and you know, Precourt Sports Ventures at the beginning of this said that they were going to pursue parallel paths, but that has not been the case at all.
And that's the other thing about the so-called Modell Law that they're going to be in court about, arguing about. The law stipulates that they have to have a reason, a local buyer has to have a reasonable, or not even reasonable, they have to have an opportunity to purchase the team.
Correct.
So what, how do you actually have an opportunity? Does that mean like you pay me $1 million billion? No, you don't want to pay me $1 million billion? Okay.
Well, there's no going to be no B involved in that. The MLS is, I'm just going to say it's on the shallow end.
Oh, no.
Of the $1 million pool.
But just to say something that is completely outlandish. Like, that could be, you could offer that price. Does that count under the Modell Law then? That they had an opportunity to buy the team? I mean, there's a lot of, I think, unanswered questions there.
Yeah, and I think that we did cover that that part of things on the previous show. Because, yeah, that court case hasn't come about yet, and it's still proceeding.
Right. Yeah, so we'll, again, stay updated on that one. But I think it was probably a negative news there that they have that agreement going on now with Austin.
Yeah, I don't think it was the best news. It really wasn't the worst news. Because even the commissioner of MLS has kind of maybe hinted at the two-team solution.
I know that the reason that he Precourt in the first place wanted to move the team to Austin rather than have an expansion team was there would be a expansion fee that would have to be paid in order to start up a new team, I believe.
Right, which I that's one where I can't believe, because the other owners get a cut of that, I can't believe that they're not pissed about it. Because that means money out of their pocket, essentially. Like, even if it's just like $2 million or something per team, you know, that's an extra $2 million. Why wouldn't you be kind of moody about that? Especially as a group, knowing collectively how much everyone has lost.
I guess if the rumor could be true then that they were going to offer an expansion team as well, that might make them more likely to agree to the deal, like you said. But
It's definitely something that it seems like a logical thing to do, because the Save the Crew campaign has gotten, and I think I've already mentioned that I was definitely an early sign up for the pledges for if this team stays put with local ownership, that you'd sign up for season tickets. Because I really, even if Columbus keeps a team, I really don't like the MLS. Like, it might be my lowest rung of, like, enjoyment as far as leagues go in their levels of incompetency. Because there are definitely large levels and different levels of incompetency, whether it's the NHL or the NFL.
Right. There's teams that are a lot worse than some teams, obviously. But you would think that overall, are you saying that the play in the MLS is not good?
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. Because it's improved vastly over the years. What I'm saying is that how I feel about the league, like, all the leagues screw up.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In their own way.
Sort of like for business decisions?
For business decisions.
Gotcha.
This one, because they were complicit in helping this happen. They haven't really outright said that they did it, but unfortunately for them, they had to admit that they were owners of the Crew. And turned Precourt into an investor owner or something like that. Investor operator. That's what it was. They took owner out of his name just so that they could try to get around the Modell law, which I think we covered too. But
oh, wow. I don't know if I picked up on that one.
Yeah, he had to change his title from owner, which he had had from the time that he bought the Crew.
Is that the same
until that time?
Is that the same arrangement with all the other teams?
It is technically like it's more like you are loaned the team in the situation that MLS has.
Because the players are all under contract to the league, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really a single entity, but they call everyone owners until this situation popped up. And they kind of backed themselves into a corner. It's kind of, there's no way you have a clause to move a team to a specific city and somehow the MLS office is like, oops, I missed that clause when we were signing this contract.
Yeah, I think they must have known that was in there.
So, I mean, they were complicit in this from 2015 on. When he bought the team, like, this is, it's been a long running plan,
yeah, which that just seems shady.
Yeah. Like, again, like, I think every league, you can say that they do some shady shit and, you know, you don't like certain aspects of how they run the business. but MLS being complicit in this is just really, to me, a terrible look. Like, it really makes me not want to watch MLS because of that.
Right.
You know, because I know that, like, the NHL is dumb and is pretending, like, concussions don't hurt you, even though every other major sport has said that, yes, concussions are bad.
Right. So, yeah.
You know, like, all of them have some type of blight on their the flag,
the records,
the flag stuff, for the NFL, the randomness of who gets punished and who doesn't. you know, letting back in wife beaters while a guy that smokes marijuana is out for a year.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. So, yeah, all the leagues have some... Just
Roger Goodell in general.
You know, they all have some problem, but this one is just really terrible to have to have Columbus in this situation is completely crazy, especially since the national team, on top of the crew always having at least solid support, that the national team has played here so much and they're going to call this not a soccer town is pretty crazy.
Yeah, somebody was mentioning some of the kind of shady stuff that they feel like the owner did to kind of like lower attendance in some ways and make things appear less profitable.
Yeah, just this year. I mean, I still know people that didn't pick up tickets because of the situation since they announced it at the end of last year.
Right. Yeah.
And people entered in to have season tickets and revoked them as soon as they mentioned the move. And, you know, I'm a put your money where your mouth is kind of guy. So if I want them to stay, I should still, you know, show my loyalty. I understand that it's going to an idiot who's trying to move my team.
Yeah.
I do understand that that is the downside of going with my principle of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's giving money to someone who's trying to put this team in Austin.
But on the balance, you think it's still best to keep the support for the team
there? Yeah, I think that if MLS is to be proven wrong, that you need to be there and you need to kind of help out.
Yeah.
is my opinion. Well, but yeah, I don't fault those people that did that, though. So, yeah. You know, that's another I will agree to disagree on that one. We started with an agree to disagree. We can end on one.
Makes perfect sense.
Or maybe we can end on an agree to agree. Clown Shoes has been a somewhat regular beverage on this OPA podcast because I do enjoy their beer, despite the fact that they're from Massachusetts and from the Boston area.
Yeah, I was just looking on here, but thanks for providing that detail.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually Boston itself, but I do believe it's somewhere in Massachusetts.
New England.
Yeah, Bubble Farm IPA. You know, maybe not my favorite IPA from them, but it's still very good.
Yeah, I was saying I thought it was surprisingly refreshing, but... I don't know. It's I do like the different Clown Shoe things. I might like the Alpha King better, but
I do believe that that's from Three Floyds.
Oh, Three Floyds. Okay, that's right.
The Space Cakes is the double IPA from Clown Shoes that I'm familiar with. I've had a couple of times. I do like the Space Cakes better than this. So okay. I guess if you see some Clown Shoes out, obviously since we're in Ohio, they have a decent distribution area.
But, yeah, chances are you might be able to find it in your area. Yeah, give it a shot. I think they make some good beer.
Yeah, so at DeFrago 11, at Gozer 33, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And have a good night.
And a good week.